Greetings, brothers and sisters. This is Pastor Bob, and it's Tuesday, July 20th, and we're ready for our eighth episode of Roman through Romans, which means chapter 8 of this great letter that Paul has written to the church in Rome in the first century, and apparently to the church in America in the 21st century. Amen. Well, yesterday we heard chapter 7, and if you recall, if you go back to chapter 6, Paul tells us that those in Christ have died to sin, and that means we're no longer slaves to our sin. No longer slaves to our sinful thinking and sinful acting. That we have died to that way of life. Not that we don't sin anymore, but sin does not lead us in our life, in our thinking, in our ways. So, yesterday we had Romans chapter 7. And chapter 7 begins with Paul teaching us that in Christ we have also died to our obligation to follow the law of Moses. The obligation to follow the law of Moses. Paul makes clear, though, that that law is still holy and good because that shows us just how sinful we are. Our inability to follow that holy and good law from God reveals to us just how sinful we are. And then Paul talks about himself and his own failed attempts, remember, to follow the law. I keep doing what I don't want to do, and I can't seem to do what I really want to do. Remember that whole line of thought that he shared? His failed attempts to follow the law convinced him even more of his need to be delivered from his sinfulness by God through faith in Christ. By God alone, through faith alone. So, now we turn to chapter 8. And we're going to explore, Paul will, some of the benefits of being in Christ. Let us begin. Chapter 8, the book of Romans. We begin with the theme, the solution is life on God's terms. That's the solution. Here's Paul's words. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition. He entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now, what the law code asked for but we couldn't deliver is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious and free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what God is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of Him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you, who do welcome Him, in whom He dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does, as surely as He did in Jesus, then you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant. Adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we were going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. Amen. We'll pause now. We still have some ways to go in chapter 8. And we will finish that tomorrow. Don't forget, we'll also have our Zoom discussion group tomorrow night, and the link to that meeting will be in tomorrow's email. But as for today, have a blessed Tuesday. And there are things to do, and there are places to go. God's Spirit beckons you. Go out and ask this question. What's next, Papa? What's next?